Hello and welcome to Freudian Quips, a WPRK 91.5 FM radio show dedicated to promoting mental health awareness through the examination of popular culture and global current events. Co-hosted by Dr. Samuel Sanabria and Dr. Derek Palladino.
Hi.
I'm Dr. Sanabria, clinical mental health counselor specializing in multicultural social justice and human sexuality issues.
And I'm Dr. Palladino. I specialize in multicultural issues such as multiple heritage, college student development, and crisis issues.
And today we have a guest we actually recruited. Yes, we have our Greg Golden, who's the general manager of student media here at Rollins. He's actually helping us with our podcast. And since today's topic is on masculinity, and he is a man... Right?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought, hey, why don't you join us? And he graciously said yes. So I'm so glad to have you here. Welcome, Greg.
Happy to come on the show.
Awesome. Okay. So today we're going to talk about masculinity. Okay. We're going to talk about what it is, the effects of macho culture on mental health, and whether the change in this social ideology of what masculinity is good for men and mm-hmm. for our society. Mm-hmm. But before we do that, let's just check in with ourselves and see how we're doing. How was our weekend?
Well, things have changed. When you have a child, your weekends become quite different, I've noticed.
So,
okay. It used to be, let's do these weekend trips and sort of do all these things. This weekend we did our Miles turn two last Saturday. So we did our two-year-old pictures. And we had a dress up, and we went. We snuck into a Disney resort and had a photographer.
You snuck into a Disney resort?
We may have said we were eating dinner there or something like that. And then,
did you eat dinner there?
We brought snacks.
Okay, you did. Okay. So technically you ate something.
And so we took pictures there, and then we had to go to a birthday party for another kid who's 2 years old.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. So, we realized this the other night. The first birthday parties, there's alcohol. It's a lot of fun. It's all for the adults.
Mm-hmm.
When you turn two, the birthday parties aren't as fun for adults.
Okay.
At all.
Yeah.
I mean, they were great for him. He enjoyed it. We know people there, so that's fun. But there's not that party atmosphere. Like Miles's first birthday party was an Oktoberfest theme.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. So there was a lot of beer drinking. I remember I was there.
Yeah, you were there.
I was there. I was not invited to a second birthday.
We didn't have a party.
Well, okay. That's probably why I wasn't invited.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Okay, so your weekends are different.
Yeah, very different now.
Yeah.
Good, but very different.
Right. So, Greg, how was your weekend?
It was good. I was at my grandparents' with my wife and my parents on Saturday down in Port Charlotte. That was a lot of fun. We just hang out, eat. It was raining all day, or else we would have went in their pool.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So that's fun. The three-hour drive there and back, especially the one back where it's nearing midnight
and we're
all trying to keep each other awake. Those are always good conversations. So it was a good time.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome. Well, we were in the same area because I went to Sarasota this weekend to visit some friends. And so that was a good time. Because we lived in Sarasota for several years and we still have a lot of great friends there. And it's been a while, so we decided to go there for the weekend. And so Andrew and I went and we brought our daughter Lucia. And all of our friends that we have in Sarasota are the ones that we actually keep in touch with. After moving away 5 years ago, they're all gay. They're all gay couples, and kind of felt bad for Lucia because she spent the whole weekend with a bunch of gay guys, just hanging out by the pool. Well, it was raining, so we didn't really do a lot of swimming, but just hanging out with a bunch of gay guys. And it was so cute because I remember one time she came up to me and we had just finished lunch and I was tired and I ended up sleeping on the sofa on my friend's couch. And all of my friends, they all went outside and to the patio area to hang out. And she came up to me, she woke me up and she said, Poppy, because she called me Poppy. She goes, I'm going to hang out outside with the boys. And I go, okay, go ahead, hang out with the boys. I thought that was really cute that she referred to all of our friends as the boys. So anyways, I'm glad you all had a great weekend.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks for asking. Thanks for caring.
Yeah. Well, that's what I do.
Yeah,
that's
you get what paid I do. To care.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's talk about our topic here for this week, which is on masculinity. And this is a topic that I have been wanting to talk about for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's been an issue that I have been working through for many years, ever since I was a young kid. You know, this idea of what masculinity is and whether I'm meeting that standard in my own life. And, you know, as a gay kid growing up, I always felt insecure about being a man and feeling like I was not a man and not masculine enough. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what I have been excited about is in the past few years, noticing a big change in our society on what exactly is masculinity, and then seeing a little bit more of an acceptance of men expressing themselves in different ways, various ways. So,
such as what?
Well, you know, remember many, many years ago, this is probably in the, correct me if I'm wrong, like in the middle or in the beginning of the 2000s, this whole idea of metrosexuals,
Do
you remember that?
Yeah.
And how, what was metrosexual?
Wasn't it like, I think I tried to do it and I failed. I think it was, you get your eyebrows done, you have button-up shirts that are very nice, rolled up sleeves. I don't really know.
I think it was sort of a high fashion for men. And so I would say traditional masculinity is not being fashionable.
Right. Not caring about your appearance
so
much.
It was really heightened and wearing maybe even bright colors and things that might not be associated with a normalized masculine identity.
Right. And, you know, it wouldn't be unusual for men to have manicures or pedicures because they want to take care of their appearance.
You know what's so funny? Me and Amanda were talking and we're going to a wedding this weekend on a beach in North Carolina, Outer Banks. And I was going to get a pedicure for it.
Oh, yeah. Have you ever had one?
I've had a manicure, but I've never had a pedicure.
Oh, my gosh. I love getting mani-pedis. But I'm getting one with a good friend of mine next week, so I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, but so you almost had one. What made you not get one?
Time. I'm here with you.
Oh, okay.
I want to get one. I was just talking to her and I said, what color should I get? I don't want to get clear. I feel like that's a waste of money to get a pedicure and then have it just be clear on my foot.
Okay.
Well, I was just thinking, can't you get a pedicure without getting your nails painted? I
guess. I mean,
you want to half-ass it a little bit, you know?
Okay. Okay, yeah, you want to get your money's worth.
Yeah, right. So, okay. I'm putting out the money. Put a color on me.
There you go.
Make it nice.
Great.
Okay, good. Yeah. So, have you ever had one?
I have not. Only in so much as my wife sometimes helped me get calluses off my feet. I run a lot, and so... Yeah. That's really the extent of it. Nothing professional.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So, okay. So like a foot scrub, a nice deep foot scrub. Not necessarily a pedicure.
A little bit, maybe.
Okay.
Some scrubbing. Yeah.
And you're laying back listening to ambient music and cucumbers over your eyes, all that
I'll
stuff.
I'll have to do that next time.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so no manicures. You've never like sat back and just let people work on your fingernails?
No. And... going into those places ever, I really can't stand the smell.
Okay.
Smells like toxic materials.
Okay. So it's not like you wouldn't do it. It's just,
oh, no.
Yeah,
no,
it's
I
just
would.
That you would do it, but it's sure. just if it wasn't for the smells, then okay.
Yeah, the opportunity just hasn't come up either.
Yeah.
No one's ever asked me if I wanted to go get a manicure, perhaps.
Maybe we should do it together.
I'm asking you right now, do you want to have a mani-pedi with me?
Okay.
Okay, let's do it. Derek, what about you?
I have a meeting.
Oh.
I have a meeting. I'm so sorry. I would. I want to.
Okay.
We
have to do like the three of us. We need to find a time and we'll just get our mani-pedis. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Okay. So now, do you guys consider yourselves quote unquote metrosexuals?
No. I mean, I'm sure we'll get into a lot of this as it goes on, but a student has once said that I dress like an anime professor, just
really?
Wearing polo shirts and khakis like I'm out of My Neighbor Totoro or something, if you're familiar with that movie.
No, no. So, what movie is that?
My Neighbor Totoro.
Well, My Neighbor
Totoro. It's a Japanese anime movie.
Okay, yeah.
So I don't think that that's necessarily a high masculine. But I don't.
These anime characters are highly masculinized. Okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
But then on the flip side, I would say there are many that are high fashion and the metrosexual.
They have nice hair. I've noticed the spiky hair. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. Okay. So.
But that was just a little tangent of just maybe feedback that I get, and so I wouldn't necessarily say that that's metrosexual, and I wouldn't say it's extremely masculine either.
Yeah. Okay. So what would you call it then?
like a regional sales manager.
Regional sales manager. I like that. Okay.
Reluctantly.
Okay. Well, you know what? I have to tell you, I do like your glasses.
Thank you.
They look stylish. All right. Mm-hmm. You're just wearing a polo shirt. It's just a regular. Actually, I don't even see a logo on your polo shirt. Where's the alligator in the
I typically don't go
you don't.
For that.
You're not. No. Are you a name brand shopper?
No.
No. Okay. All right. And Derek, I'm not seeing anything on you that's name brand. What's going on there?
I don't have the money for it. I'm a professor. What do you expect from me?
Okay. Okay. Well, you will. I'm not wearing one now, but you would normally see a symbol on my polo shirts. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And what about you, Derek? Do you
consider myself a metrosexual?
Yeah.
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't feel like I just dress nicely. Is that the
way you care about your appearance?
I mean,
but it's not just appearance though. It's also having an appreciation for the arts and for the theater and things that are tend to be more associated with women.
I would say I can appreciate it. I'm weird. I feel like I'm in the middle. Like I don't like when we watch House Hunters a lot. Again, my boring life.
Okay.
And whenever there's a guy that says, we got to put in a man cave. We must have a man cave. Yeah. I roll my eyes and say, oh my God, you're what's wrong with every man out there.
Right.
You don't need a separate space to be away from your wife or your partner or who you want to be with. And so I lean in those moments. Maybe I am.
Yeah.
Because I care more about, well, I want a space where I can communicate and sort of be with Amanda, you know?
Right, right. You know what's so interesting is because Andrew wants a man cave.
Does he?
Oh, he does. He wants a man cave because he wants to just have his own space where he doesn't have to worry about anything that's going on outside and he can just do his own thing. And it's not like our house is, you know, the decor would lean on the more masculine side, but he just wants his man cave. He just wants his space as well. Yeah. But you know, it's so funny because you say that you don't consider yourself a metrosexual. I could agree with that, but I know that when we go away to a conference together, like when we travel to another city, we always look for things to do, right? You always want to go to bars and have beers and drink and watch the game on the television. And I always want to go to a museum, you know, and I'm always looking up for, you know, different museums. And I love it because we do both. Mm-hmm. We go, you know, so during the day, you kind of smile and go along with me to the museums and you can feign interest very well. Yep. And I do appreciate that. But you go along. And then at night we go to the bar and we watch the game and I kind of feign interest in sports. Mm-hmm. So
I feel like I've always been involved in masculine things, but never feel like I was connecting with it. So for instance, when I was in college, I played rugby outside of college and all that. Mm-hmm. But I never felt like I fit in with the stereotypical rugby guy.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Why?
I don't know. I mean, like I drank with them and I hung out with them, but I never felt like I wanted to not, and I don't, now I'm going to be stereotypical against rugby people, which I shouldn't. There were some people on our teams that were the type of pound your chest. Mm. I'm masculine, strong. I'm everything, blah, blah, blah. And I just never felt like that. I always felt like, that's not really me. I enjoy it.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm partaking it, but I never felt like I walked away feeling more like a man from the experience.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And Greg, what about you? Like sports? Are you into sports?
Yeah. And just thinking about a masculine image, I would say in middle school and then a little bit into college, and I'm leaving out high school for an important reason, but I really felt like I needed to be muscular and I needed to really fit in to this sort of traditional sense of masculinity. And that was going to help me to find a girlfriend and be accepted. In high school, I grew my hair out 12 inches. And in that time, I still tried to be athletic, but it wasn't as important to me in that time. But I've always have been a sports fan, someone who can sort of fit in that world. My viewing has, of course, gone down significantly since meeting my now wife, but that isn't with any reluctance at all.
So if you had the choice of going to a game, let's say, what sports do you like to watch?
Right now, really big into soccer.
Okay, so if you had the choice of going to soccer or seeing La Boheme in the opera, what would you rather do?
It would probably be going to the opera.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, one thing that my wife and I do fairly regularly is go to the theater. Yeah. Go to Rollins shows, the Fringe Festival. We were there every day. So
very cool. Yes.
That is important to me. And I do love the art scene around here, arts in general.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. You know, I know your wife. I love your wife. Yes. Okay.
I'm not sure if I can give her name.
No, No, I don't want you to do that. But I just want you to know I do know your wife, and I love your wife very much. She's awesome. And I think that you two are very lucky to have each other, because I know how special she is, how awesome she is. And I'm getting to know you and realizing how awesome you are, okay, as a person. So do you have a man cave?
I don't.
And
no.
You don't need one?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No. I think the shared spaces are great. my relationship with my wife is very connected, where we are always talking. We had this joke when we first started dating that we would start watching movies in 2018 because we just felt like we could talk forever. And that hasn't necessarily held up. We're, of course, have integrated films into our relationship.
Yeah, okay.
But I absolutely enjoy that time spent with her more than necessarily shuttering myself away.
That's awesome. You know, I have to say that I do relate to you, because you had mentioned your experience early on in your life and how you felt the need to have muscles and, you know, to be more masculine in order to get a girlfriend and so forth. And that was my experience too growing up. And as I, you know, mentioned, as a gay person, I always felt like I was not manly enough. And then I know that in the gay community, there is a very big ideology or a you very much. An idealization of masculinity and manlyhood. And I think that in the gay community, we tend to value masculinity more than in the non-gay community. I mean, that's just my opinion and my observation. I could be completely wrong in that, but there is this sense of valuing this hyper-masculinity. And you know, and I never felt like I could ever... Not only did I feel like I did not reach it, but I could never reach that point. You know, I mean, you look at me, I'm not a muscular person. But, you know, that was a struggle that I had. And I always felt less than as a person because I could not achieve this ideal sense. And I don't know if that's what you experienced too growing up.
Yeah, very similar. Just feeling like I needed to look better than others. And, of course, as we're saying, be muscular, and just feeling like maybe that's what someone is looking for in a mate.
Right.
At the same time, I was introverted and not as much of a social person. And so looking back, of course, perhaps that was my what I was lacking in, or something that I could have focused on that would have come more naturally to me.
Right. Did you date a lot when you were young?
No. I didn't.
Okay.
The first person who I called my girlfriend is now my wife.
Oh,
really?
Wow.
Oh, wait a minute. Really? So wait, really?
Yeah.
So when did you start dating her?
About 2 years ago.
Really? Okay.
So yeah, next week it'll be 2 years.
So prior to that, you hadn't, I mean, have you dated girls?
No.
Wow, that's very interesting. Okay. Now, Would you say that that was because you didn't meet the standard?
I would say it came from just self-image, and then also just things I might have made up in my head where, well, I need to meet the perfect person first because I don't want it to get messy and
break
up with them. Right. So I tried to be very discerning with who might have been interested in me and who I might have been interested in. These are all people who were friends of friends, and I was never one to try to make a pass at someone who I'd never known before.
Right.
And so really just overthinking, like, oh, is this the perfect person for me? But then as soon as I started perhaps opening myself up to, well, it would be nice to meet someone and spend time with someone is when I met her.
Right. Yeah. Okay. That's awesome. And so there was a good, nice connection. It was like it seems like you had a nice friendship, emotional connection with her.
Right.
Okay. Very good. Okay. Yeah. So Derek, what about you? Do you feel like you meet the standard of masculinity?
I don't know what the standard is, I guess.
Yeah.
Like if it's muscles, no. if it's dressing, like, I don't know. I guess that's where I struggle, right?
Right.
Is if I don't really know the definition of it, so I don't push towards it or push away from it. I just kind of am whatever I feel.
But growing up, did you ever question whether you were masculine enough?
I guess. I was involved in sports growing up, but I was always very bad at all the sports. So baseball sucked, soccer sucked, basketball, I made the team, but I sat on the bench for the entire season. In rugby, I was not very good, but I played. So I guess if I'm comparing myself to other people on the team, then yeah, I'm not as masculine or not as, I'm not a man compared to what they're able to accomplish on the field. So if I look at it in terms of that way, maybe I always just kind of a little bit behind or struggling in that area. But I got to a point where I'm like,
it wasn't that important to you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. That's interesting. Yeah. Because I know it was very important to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, growing up and just feeling not meeting that standard enough.
Yeah, I think mine, and this might be a show later on for us, but mine was more racial connection than a masculine connection where I grew up.
Yeah.
So that was more of where my focus and my mind was during that time.
Okay, good. Yeah, we'll do that in another show. So let's define what masculinity is, okay? Because you know, Derek, you just said, I don't know what that means.
No, I have no
idea. Here we are talking about like there is this standard of what masculinity is, but is there?
I think we could look to the past and say, oh, in the 60s, it might have been this. And for different time periods, I think I could pinpoint something a little better than thinking about what it is now.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think many gender norms are just being questioned right now. And
right,
what's the validity of them and why do they matter? So I think it's
so. But if you had to think about masculine men, the macho man, from a stereotypical perspective, how would you define that person?
Going back to being muscular,
we talked about that. Talked about that muscular. big muscles, right?
And not entertaining any feminine aspect or hobby or anything as a part of themselves.
Okay, so what are masculine hobbies and interests? Sports, we talked about that.
Drinking out. You can drink out.
Yeah. I guess you can
out and drink.
I'm going to drink out that. Okay, so, all right, drinking beer, because of course you're not going to drink the cocktails or the martini. Okay, it has to be a beer in the bottle, right, I guess. And when you're done, I think you're supposed to bite the bottle in half or something, or smash it somewhere.
Well, I don't know if you remember Kids in the Hall.
Yeah, I do.
So they had a little sketch they would do called Girl Drink Drunk. And basically it was this guy who would go out to all these business meetings and he would be with all these manly men, but then have his cocktail with the umbrella and the five stages of fruit elevator on top of it and stuff like that. And he just was the girl drink drunk. So it kind of put down his masculinity by him entertaining the fact that, oh, I enjoy how this tastes.
Yeah, and he has an appreciation for that. Okay, while maintaining his masculine identity, is it?
Say it again?
Why he's maintaining a masculine identity, he's drinking this?
Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll have to check that out because I don't know that particular show or mm-hmm. that skit. But what else? What else would be considered a stereotypical, traditional, masculine, macho trait?
Someone who really dominates a conversation and is funny, perhaps.
Yeah, okay, thank you, Greg. So anyways, now we're going to move over to...
You've reached it.
Oh, hey, is that masculine enough? Yeah. Okay, so somebody who's dominant, aggressive, who's controlling of a conversation mm-hmm. like myself, I just did right now. Yeah. What else?
Angry, maybe.
Angry?
Yeah.
Non-emotional. That's what mm-hmm. I think of. Yeah. Somebody who really has a very stoic sense of being and an expression mm-hmm. in their lives.
Needs to be the protector of all.
Protector of all. Yeah. Absolutely. A provider. Mm-hmm. A fighter.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. That's somebody who can... fight for their family or for their spouse or children. These are all very... Well, first of all, do you know anybody that fits all of these?
Outside of TV? Yeah, right?
Okay, so who do we know from television and movies that would fit this stereotype?
Al Bundy.
Al Bundy? Really?
I think he tries. Right?
Al Bundy. Okay. I'm thinking of somebody like Arnold Schwarzenegger from Terminator. I would mm-hmm. say absolutely Terminator because very stoic, very, like a fighter, a protector, and, all that stuff. What about you, Greg? Is there any cultural reference to this ideal masculinity?
I don't know why the one that's sticking in my head is a cartoon, Johnny Bravo.
Yeah.
Yes, I know. Exactly, right? It's the hair. You see you in that and the hair. Okay.
Archer, too.
Archer?
Yeah.
I love that show. Actually, I'm going through the series now. Very, yeah, okay. So mm-hmm. these are, but no one in real life.
Not that I know of. Like my dad wasn't a very masculine man guy.
Mm-hmm. So, well, it's funny because my father wasn't either.
Yeah.
He was a very sensitive man, mm-hmm. and I've always appreciated that. But I'm struggling myself to think of anyone that I know in my life who really fits that. So is it, so this stereotype, is it just in the movies, or are we just making it up?
I think what it might be is we see different particular characteristics of what's masculine in different people, and then we combine it together into this fictional person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the idealized version of what to be a man really is. Mm-hmm. But maybe in reality, it doesn't exist.
Mm.
Or maybe it generationally existed some time ago.
Perhaps.
And we're evolving from that.
But it's interesting that in the movies, what are the heroes in these cartoons that we watch, and you look at in the media, just like like David Beckham is somebody that I'm that comes to mind, who we idealize in society, and we say, oh, this is what a man is, and this is who you should aspire to. But then mm-hmm. we don't really know people like that in real life. I think that's very interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So is that a good thing for our societies to have this ideology of what a man is that no one can really achieve?
That's a very good question. I mean, so we have this idealized version of what a man is, but if no one's achieving that, then it's kind of becomes moot mm-hmm. at that point, I think. So I don't think it's harming society as much, but what it does is when we do see those traits, are we considering them a positive or a negative feature of someone? And then how we interpret those traits is how, we connect with that person.
Like what? Give me an example.
For example, if I go back to that House Hunters example. So these people on TV, we always imagine, would we hang out with these people buying a house? It's always no, of course. but when the man talks about, oh, that's your closet, as long as I get my man cave and this
right.
and that,
yeah.
I think of that as a negative trait of someone, because I'm looking at that person trying to be overly masculine and look good on television.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's just who they are and that's how they are. But I feel like it's kind of, they're trying to become someone they're not. They're not accepting what's around them. They're not very inviting to other people. And it's all becomes kind of that egotistical. I mean, egotistical would be another good trait I think we could put down for that.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But it becomes more about them, and it becomes negative because I see them just not caring
mm-hmm.
about anything mm-hmm. other than themselves.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I that annoys me, to be honest. You know, so have you ever seen this? I don't know if you're on Facebook. I'm on Facebook, and I always get these memes that come up all the time. And there's one that really has always stood out for me. And it's an image of these men who are in a wedding, and there's the groom and then all his groomsmen, and the groom has his hand extended out and looking at the ring on his finger, and mm-hmm. then all of the groomsmen are beside him, and they're all like, you know, so excited, like, oh my gosh,
that's awesome.
Like awesome, you know, showing up. And to me, you know, really says a lot about masculine culture and feminine mm-hmm. culture, and how usually what we see is the bride showing the ring out to all of the bridesmaids, and they're all like, oh my God, it's so beautiful. And then it makes me think about, you know, in reality, we have these men, these grooms, who always say, oh, I don't care about the wedding, it's, you know, whatever mm-hmm. she wants, whatever wants to do. And they just kind of like distance themselves because, you know, as a man, I'm not supposed to be involved and interested in my mm-hmm. own wedding. You know, that annoys me.
Do you know that Amanda called me Groomosaurus Rex?
Yes, I know that.
Because I was overly involved in every... I cared so much about our wedding day that I was so involved in every aspect. I mean, I was there for every dress fitting.
Yes, yes.
For picking the... we didn't have flowers, but... Well, we did have flowers. Picking flowers, all that sort of stuff. I really mm-hmm, cared about that being a part of us. And one time I went to go see her in the dress, and
is that legal?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
But the bridal boutique did not have a men's bathroom at all. So I couldn't go to the bathroom while I was there.
Yeah.
So she goes to get her dress fitted.
Yeah.
I kind of walk to where the mirrors are, where I can kind of see what she's going to look like and everything. And one of the workers there comes out and says, you can't be back here. I'm like, why? I'm just here to see my wife. She's like, well, there's other women here, and I think it's inappropriate for a man to be here while women are trying on their dresses. So I just looked at her, and I said, well, I don't think it's all about the bride all the time.
Yeah.
And she got really pissed at me. And
good for you.
And kind of stormed away. But I got to see her. I mean, I had to mm-hmm. stand up against the stereotype of I shouldn't be involved in our big day. And
it's put both myself your into day. It. You're both getting married.
Absolutely.
It's not like she's the only one that's getting married, but you both are.
Yeah.
And so why not? Greg, what about you?
Just in terms of weddings?
Yeah. I mean, how was your wedding? I mean, were you even...
It was great.
Did you care about your wedding?
Oh, yeah.
Did you have input in your wedding?
I did have input. I really wanted to leave a lot to her
mm-hmm.
just because I knew that she had an idea in mind.
Yeah.
But I was still very integral in us having a wedding because there was a big chance early on that we were going to elope. And I was sort of the one who said, well, let's think about what this might mean to us and who might want to be a part of this.
Yeah.
So I was pretty inspirational in us even considering all of the things that come with a wedding and
the
day itself. So
she was happy with the idea of eloping, but you were kind of like, oh, let's think about this for a minute. Let's how it's going to impact everybody else. Let's have a wedding.
Right.
Yeah.
And
okay.
So with that process, I certainly had input in wanting to have it here on campus at Rollins in the chapel.
Oh, nice. Yes.
How we went about all of that.
See, most men would say, yeah, let's elope because they don't want to deal with any of that. Mm-hmm. I'd rather just elope and not have to get dressed up in a monkey suit and so forth. But you wanted that.
Yeah, pushed for it.
Good. Okay, good. That's I'm very happy to hear that. Yeah. I'm not married yet. I'm going to get married next year, so you better believe. See, so funny. See, this is funny how people are, because I mean, I'm excited about having a wedding next year now that same-sex couples can get married, and so I'm planning the wedding. Now, Andrew, on the other hand, is he, you know, whether he's trying to be stereotypical now, but he's like, I don't care about the wedding. You do it. It's your day. It's, you plan it.
Now, how does that make you feel when he says
I just want to punch him. That's what I want to do. Not that I do not promote violence.
No, you shouldn't.
I never hit him. But I just want to, I get so angry at him because I want him to be involved in the process. It makes me feel good that he is, I want him to be interested. And I want to know that he is interested and that he wants this just like I do.
Well, it communicates that he cares. Even though you know he cares about you, it communicates on another level.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, it's so funny because, Derek, you had mentioned being in the bridal shop area for the dressing. And then I just start thinking about men and dresses, because I have noticed that in our society, a change in the way that men dress, and I'm seeing fashion designers who are designing skirts for men. And I recently went to London because I thought, oh, who would wear this, right? Honestly, like who, I'm looking at these designs and you know, the advertisements of these men, you know, wearing skirts. I'm like, who would wear this?
Trent Reznor would wear it.
Trent Reznor.
Yeah, okay. Nine Inch Nails.
And Kurt Cobain.
Yeah, he did.
Absolutely. But so I went to London recently. I went to London a month ago. And as I was walking through London, what do I see but men wearing skirts? Now, they're wearing their skirts over pants, you know, and it's just the style. But it was not unusual for that. And I know that we have two celebrities who have sons that have recently made pop culture news because these, their two sons wear dresses. Okay, Jaden Smith is one of them. This is the son of Will and Jada Smith. And he is, he apparently went to the prom. I don't know if you know this, but he went to his prom wearing a dress. And I was all over social media and so forth. And Susan Sarandon's son, who also is named Miles.
Spelled differently, of course.
He's, yes. Yeah, spelled differently. Not as nice as your
no,
Miles.
No, the is M-Y is the way to go.
Yeah. But he also wore a dress. And it just seems like there is a shift happening, another shift as to what is accepted when it comes to masculine culture, and wearing dresses is one of them. I'm noticing. Are you seeing anything about
that? I haven't seen it. Do you see yourself wearing one?
I would love to wear one, actually. Absolutely. I would wear one. Yeah. Would you?
I don't know. They feel, they, it looks like it would be comfortable. So maybe, but I like having material around my entire leg for some reason.
Well, you could wear it over pants.
Oh, that's true.
Would you do that?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to think what I would wear it to. Like just as an everyday thing?
You could, or you can wear it for a special event. Yeah. Greg, what about you? Would you wear a skirt?
Perhaps. Yeah, I think it depends.
I'm putting you guys on the spot here, right?
Like, I'm not against it.
Yeah. Maybe if it's cold out and over the pants, something makes sense. Like wearing a long coat or something.
That could be so a now you're making it socially acceptable. It's like if it was a coat. You
I'm saying the parallel right now might be a long coat. But okay, if it were just that, and maybe you wear it with a coat. Maybe that's something.
All right.
I mean, maybe if I'm roller skating and it can kind of flow a little bit, I would feel like there's a purpose to it.
Okay.
But, you know,
well, here's
the
thing. I'm telling you, we're going to have mani pedis while wearing skirts.
Okay.
Okay. All right. All right. And we're going to take a picture of this and post it on Facebook. Okay. On our Facebook here. So
you're buying.
Okay. That's fine. Well, let's, so do you think this, well, let's talk a little bit about this, this idea of masculinity and this pressure, the social pressure to be this, you know, stoic, you know, tough guy, and so forth, and whether that's really good for men and really good for our society. You know, what do we know about that? Okay. Well, I'll tell you what we know about that. because, you know, what's interesting is there's a study that was recently done where they took a bunch of men and they gave them, they asked them to squeeze this machine, and it would, the machine would give them an indicator of where they are strength-wise, for example, okay? And they found that when they lied and gave a number that was outside the average range, less than the average as far as men, their age, and what they can squeeze. These men were more likely to overcompensate and lie about other aspects of their lives. So, for example, so if they squeezed this machine and they said, oh, and the researcher was like, oh, you fell into this range, which was like the 20% range. They were more likely to lie about their height, about their interests. About their income, absolutely. About their interests in sports and, you know, more manly activities than those who were given a average or above average score.
I could just imagine in their head it's saying, I'm a man.
Don't question my masculinity. Absolutely. So there's a lot of pressure there, you know, to be stronger and tougher. Mm-hmm. And then that translate to really exaggerating these other features in this in their lives. And I thought that was very interesting. But we also know that men who are socialized to be non-emotional, to be stoic, are less likely, the more that they're socialized, they're less likely to go to therapy.
Yeah,
and talk then, about whatever emotional problems that they have.
Absolutely, because when you are... when you're dealing with these types of emotions, depression, anxiety, anger, and you're holding them in and you're not doing anything with it, then they sort of get worse. Mm-hmm. So they can become more clinically depressed.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because of not allowing themselves to sort of have a self-awareness or accept that I am a feeling person.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting because we also know this, that the men who score higher on the traditional male traits are more likely to experience mental health issues like depression, anxiety, anger, you know, isn't it? And they tend to deal with these feelings differently. So we know that, for example, that women in our society do experience anxiety and depression at a higher rate than men, but they're more likely to have outlets that allow them to process, you know, their feelings and you know, and to work through what it is that they're experiencing. But men, again, because they're socialized, they tend to not be expressive and to share their emotions with other people.
Yeah, and it starts really young. I think with Miles, we've been experiencing what it's like to raise a boy. So, for instance, we went to Publix, or me and him went to Publix a couple weeks ago. And they give you like a cookie, and then you can get a balloon at the cash register. And so there was a pink balloon, a blue balloon, and I couldn't make this up. There was just a pink and a blue balloon. And Miles has a very curly hair, and he could be seen either way, either gender. And the person who was working there said, what color balloon would a baby like? And I could tell immediately they did not know he was a boy. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted... I don't know. In that moment, I felt like I need to teach a lesson here about it. So I just said, whatever you feel is appropriate, whatever you feel comfortable with. And he's like, well, pink, or, and he kept on pushing it. And I said, I think he'll be fine with whatever you choose. He'll be happy with either. And then they gave him a blue balloon, but it's like he's socialized to be, he needs to have blue. He needs to, another example is we go to restaurants sometimes and the server will come over and he's adorable. He's pretty cute. And she'll say, oh, he's going to be a ladies killer. And I said, or man. And it kind of...
Or man killer. Yeah, yeah.
And that kind of stops them a little bit too. But I feel like...
people feel very uncomfortable with that.
Totally.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he's being pressured, not by us, but by society at this point, to be a very masculine male baby.
Right. Stereotypical. Yeah. It's like, oh, this is the path that you're going to choose. You're going to be that lady killer, the one that's going to be dating and, you know, having sex with as many women as possible and breaking their hearts and so forth. And, you know, what if he's a sensitive person? What if he does identify as being gay? You know, is that okay? Mm-hmm. You know, and I love that you are, as a dad, comfortable with that.
I try.
Absolutely. Yeah, I know. I know. It's not easy. And here's another thing, too. So, you know, I had mentioned that women are more likely to experience depression and anxiety than men. But did you know that 80% of suicides in the U.S. are men?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, even though women, percentage-wise, experience more depression, it is men who are taking more lethal methods to addressing their emotional pain.
Can you explain what a lethal method is?
Well, Yes, I mean, taking your life, that's a lethal method. Well,
you know, okay, so there's different levels with it. So, like, and I've done a lot of work in crisis management and suicide work. Mm-hmm. So there's different levels of lethality as when we assess our clients. So there's what we would consider a high method is something that you cannot come back from. So a gun.
Yes.
Driving off of a bridge, jumping off of a bridge. Things like that.
Right.
Using drugs or trying to overdose is more low lethal just because sometimes there's the hope or the possibility you're going to be found to kind of work through this. But anything that you know will not go beyond this moment and you cannot come back from.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, and it's not good, mm-hmm. You know, for anyone to be socialized to feel that they cannot be in touch with their feelings, or to be able to express those feelings and to have an outlet mm-hmm. and to have relationships and to connect and, you know, to connect with other men as well. So, you know, it really does have a very negative mm-hmm. effect for men. And I'm actually encouraged by what I'm seeing in movies, in society, and just this challenge of this idea of what is masculine. Behavior. Has any of you guys ever seen the movie Frozen?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Million times.
Million times. Well, I've seen it a million times. Greg, have you seen the movie?
I actually haven't seen it yet.
Oh, my gosh. I'll bring it in for you. You can watch it every day.
Good.
Groundbreaking movie that has been praised by many people, but been criticized by others as well. First of all, it's really, the movie is perhaps, and I don't know, I haven't looked at other movies and done a critical analysis of this, but it was a game changer as far as how women are depicted. And mm-hmm. so the main character, Elsa or Anna, I forget who, I've seen it a million times.
Yeah. I mean, okay. Elsa's the main character, but Anna's really the main character.
Okay. Yeah. Well, the one that gets frozen at the end. And
Anna.
Anna's the mm-hmm. one that gets frozen.
Spoiler.
Yeah, I know. Oh, no, you're absolutely right. But anyways, the movie
I'm
really,
so sorry, Greg.
I know. It just depicts a female lead as being one that can take care of herself and that she doesn't need a man yeah. to help and save her. In fact, she is the hero of the movie. But also the main male character, Kristoff, he's on the sensitive side. I have mm-hmm. to tell you, he's on the sensitive side. I mean, there's a part in the movie where she's like, let's go and fight them, you know, whatever. And he's like, oh, look how pretty this flower is. You know, you know, just a very, you know, not stereotypical man. And, you know, a lot of people are saying now, it's called the Frozen effect. I don't know if you've ever heard this, but a lot of people are criticizing this because it's like, oh, now we're socializing our young boys to be feminine and to be in touch with their feelings. And that's mm-hmm. a bad thing. We're destroying masculinity. What do you think about that?
I think it's bad for kids to not be able to experience emotions.
But do you think what Disney did with Frozen?
I think it's wonderful.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, totally positive.
I think it's positive, you know, absolutely, because it's now allowing kids to realize it's okay, you know, if I'm sensitive. It's okay if I appreciate this. It's okay if I'm not, you know, rescuing everyone all the time.
It's emotional intelligence, and it's quite healthy.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. But I just think it's interesting how there are some people in our society who are very against mm-hmm. that. But, you know, yeah, you know, so overall, do you think that's a positive thing? You're saying yes
totally.
To that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Dresses. That's coming up next. I'm telling you right now. We're going to see more and
we're
more.
Dresses, we're going to do it
with our pedicure. I'm yeah. waiting to see the next president of the United States, male president mm-hmm. of the United States, to be wearing a dress. Anything else, guys? What do you?
I think I'm still figuring out if I'm a man. I mean, after our conversation, I'm still. Well, yeah, I'm gender wise, I'm a man. But I feel like I always struggle with what it is to be masculine, and if that's who I am. I mean, I feel like I'm on that scale somewhere in the middle because I like all different types of things, and mm-hmm. I don't care as much about some of the more male stereotypical features or characteristics. And maybe I did as a kid because that's how you're socialized mm-hmm. that level. But I feel like this conversation is still pushing me to figure that out.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's an ongoing conversation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're having one from a societal perspective.
I'm still growing as a person.
Yeah, that's wonderful. But, you know, let me tell you, there is this wonderful website that can help you.
Oh, there is.
There's a wonderful website that we're going to go ahead and post on Facebook, Freudian Quips.
I love websites.
Facebook, yes. Have you heard of The Art of Manliness?
No.
No.
Okay. It's this guy, his name is Brett McKay, and he wrote a book called The Art of Manliness, and he has a YouTube channel where he posts, you know, small 10 minutes, 15 minutes video clips on how to be a man. And he has a website. And I actually bought the book. I do see his video chats and have been on his website. And I actually like it because, again, this is this ongoing societal discussion on masculinity and what it is. And I really appreciate him and his website because he really does a good job showing how one can be masculine, maintain this sense of masculine identity, but still be in touch with your emotions and your feelings and still, you know, being a good person for society and to be a helper and to be a really good contributor to society. And, you know, again, I'm going to post this on the website. You know, I highly recommend that you, you know, visit it and check it out and see what he has to say. And I don't know, you know, Greg, who knows, you might look at this and say, hey, he's really speaking to me.
Sure.
This is awesome, you know? Anything else before we wrap it up? Because I see that we are
coming close.
Yeah, we're at the end of our time together. This is an awesome conversation that we're having. Yeah. Anything else?
I guess my wrap up would be just the more that empathy becomes... Or, well, I guess the less it becomes genderized with more of a feminine trait, I think that we have to gain. Because really, that's what I value. Mm-hmm. It's something that could maybe get us to be better providers and some of these end goals that maybe the traditional masculine ideal will emphasize. Just things like that.
So are you defining masculinity as someone who is empathetic?
I hope that that becomes
okay.
a future value.
Yeah, awesome. Okay. Well, I do like the idea of like just removing gender from these characteristics and just have people be empathetic.
Right.
You know, people, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we're kind of at the end of our second episode, and the topic was masculinity. So thank you for listening in. And as we move to our next one, we'll be talking about the deconstruction of the breakup.
What does that mean? The deconstruction of the breakup?
The breakup. So you're in a relationship, you break up. What happens?
Oh, yes.
What happens? How do you deal with that? How do you recover from it? How do you move on? How do you take in all of the emotions and views and everything from that experience?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know who can benefit from that conversation?
Who? I want to know.
Oh, who's that Kardashian? Kourtney Kardashian
Lamar,
broke
right?
up. Huh?
With Scott Disick.
Oh, is it Scott?
Yeah,
his name is apparently they broke up.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently. And he is not taking it well.
Yeah.
All right. And so he's been on the news lately.
He's also had a lot of loss. I mean, he lost both of his parents and he's going through some alcoholism issues.
Okay,
so there's
again,
a lot.
You see, but that could be the result of socialization,
That's
of
true.
Not being in touch with your feelings and be expressive about it. So you don't want to miss this next conversation. Okay, absolutely.
We're
going to
dive into the Kardashians, I guess.
Okay,
let's do
we're
going to
talk
okay.
about the Kardashians next time. Well, all right. We're signing off and we will see you or talk to you next time.
So thanks for listening again. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter where you should interact with us in the show and we'll be able to interact with you back. So stay mentally healthy and word to your edible complex.
Hello again, friends of the friends. I knew you when...
And you are listening to
WBRK
91.5 FM.
The best.
The best.
The best in basement radio.
WPRK.
WPRK.
Yes, it's right.